is Express FM. Supported by Southern Co-op. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Six wins, five draws and six defeats. That represents the home form of a side challenging for automatic promotion. The Blues suffered yet another setback at the weekend.
Final whistle goes here at Fratton Park. It's finished. Portsmouth 1, Gillingham 1.
Gillingham were the latest team to come away from Fratton Park with at least a point to show for their troubles, despite Pompey drawing first blood. And manager Kenny Jackett has been speaking about the moment he felt his side would struggle to regain the lead on Saturday.
And then from 75 minutes on, you know, it was Gillingham, particularly when Akindi came on. You know, physically gave us some problems down the left side of our defence. Jordan Graham put some good balls in, and it evened the balance of the game up. You know, we're fourth in the league, and it's not a bad position to be in, and we move on to Tuesday.
And speaking of Tuesday, the gaffer has also given his pre-match thoughts ahead of a trip to Doncaster Rovers, emphasising how difficult it is to get a run of results going in this league, despite the many efforts to do so.
We've been up and down. We've been good for spells in games. But obviously, you know, you want consistent runs of results. Many sides, though, are the same. It's not easy to win games of football. It's hard and, you know, we've been battling away.
I've got two more Blues fans waiting on hold at the other end of the line, eager to vent their frustrations at Saturday's result and, of course, shed some positivity too, I hope, as we plan to look ahead to tomorrow's game at Buckheap Moat. You're tuned in to Express FM, locked in for another instalment of Blues Debate. A very good evening and welcome to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome yet again to the Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download the app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to view up-to-date timetables, prices and deals, as well as important COVID-19 guidelines. Coming up on tonight's show, as you've just heard, we've got an inquest into Saturday's stalemate at Fratton Park, a preview of tomorrow night's visit to Doncaster Rovers, and we'll also be highlighting the players who are out of contract this summer. Do you believe that perhaps the uncertain futures of some players in the Pompey squad is having an effect on the pitch? Are the Blues becoming, or have they already been for a while now, too predictable when trying to create goal-scoring opportunities? And should Kenny turn to Jack Watmore to solve the defensive dilemma? Or do you agree with the statement that Sean Raggett and Rasmus Nicolaisen deserve to remain partnered for the time being? To get your thoughts across to us tonight, either text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Tweet at ExpressFM, go to facebook.com/PompeyLive or send an email to Pompey@ExpressFM.com. But on top of all else, I'm afraid it's a standard procedure here on the Football Hour to revisit the events of Pompey's last outing. The Blues welcomed Gillingham to Fratton Park on Saturday afternoon, a team dubbed as a bogey side in recent years. But a win at Oxford United in the game prior had surely given Pompey a bit of momentum as they seek to improve on their below-average home form. Calling this run from the South Stand press box was Andy Moon, alongside former Blues striker and manager Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scores!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
And it'll be Gillingham to get us underway, going from right to left as we look at things from our position at the back of the South Stand. Pompey going towards the Milton end, and it's cleared down the left, and suddenly there's a breakout for Pompey, and a good one. And Ronan Curtis has got Harness through the middle. Can he find him with the ball? He can. Harness chance in the penalty area. Harness, he's hit the post, and the rebound will be cleared away. Oh, and here's Harrison. Harrison laying it off White to shoot with his left foot. Wonderful save from Bonham. And the second ball is... effectively won by Gillingham because Harness is penalised for a foul. Here's Ollie Lee. on the left-hand side, losing out to Harness, wins it back, and then goes past O'Connor and wants to take on Ogilvy. What a run from Harness into the box. Can he deliver to the far post? He can, and Raggett scores! Brilliant from Harness. A wonderful header from Raggett. No chance, the goalkeeper. And Portsmouth have broken the deadlock. It's Pompey 1, Gillingham 0. And then it's lifted to the edge of the area where Raggett's header goes across more than anything. A huge risk from Brown, a terrible error, and Gillingham score. Brown trying to chest it back to his goalkeeper, but Dane Oliver read it, nipped in, put it past McGilvery. A terrible mistake from Portsmouth's left back. It's Portsmouth 1, Gillingham 1. The Gillingham captain to the right, to Graham. It's just outside the box. Pompey needing to defend. Graham with a step over and across to the far post. It's a good cross and headers over the bar. And Oliver's probably should score that. It's still 1-1. There's not too many options for it. There's a ball over the top and Akindi's going to get on the end of it. Akindi for Gillingham. Great save, McGilvery. Yet again in stoppage time. It's the Pompey keeper saving them. Graham still there. Graham down at the dead ball line. Step over. Can't keep the ball in play. Goal kick. Final whistle goes here at Fratton Park. It's finished. Portsmouth 1, Gillingham 1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there from Pompey's 1-1 draw with Gillingham at the weekend. And that result means that the Blues have still failed to defeat the Gills at Fratton Park in a league fixture since 2003. I'm pleased to say that I'm tonight joined by my Pompey Live colleague and, of course, very good friend, Ryan the Viking Stillwell. Ryan, a very good evening to you, sir, and thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Good evening, Jake. It's been a while since I was on the Football Hour, actually, and it almost feels like the way Pompey season's going, you could almost copy and paste my comments from the last Football Hour I was on and just stick it into tonight. So I'm off to have dinner and you can listen to Ryan from 3 months ago and it will sound pretty much the same. But I'm all right, thank you. How are yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Not the greatest result on Saturday, as we know. I'm sure you've got just a few words on that performance. Look, it's... We were, I wouldn't say excited after the game at Oxford on Tuesday night, were we, Ryan? We were happy that Pompey got the win over the line against a very good Oxford team. But we were both, and we said this on air after the game, we were cautious about Saturday's game with Gillingham because we knew that it would be, and we all know it, it'd be typical Pompey to go and beat Oxford and then not get a result at home to Gillingham. And lo and behold, it happened.
It happened, and that's why I predicted we'd get a 1-1 on Saturday afternoon, because that's the way Pompey deliver performances at Fratton Park. And as you say quite rightly, while we were, of course, happy with the Oxford win, because we are at our root Pompey fans before anything else, that victory was still an outlier in the sense that Pompey don't win games in the second half, and they don't edge teams out in the second half. They've only done that, I think, 3 times this season when they've been in such a scenario. So to beat Oxford in the second half, it didn't feel much more than an anomaly. And I was just waiting for normal service to resume at Fratton, and that it very much did. The only thing I got wrong on Saturday was I expected Gillingham's equaliser to come in the second half, not the first. But even then, second half, final 15 minutes, the chances were all Gillingham's to go out and win it. So, yeah, I wasn't entirely surprised with the way Saturday transpired. And to me, that's probably the most heinous thing, because I don't care if Fratton Park's got 18,500 fans there or zero. I never thought I would be in a position where I would, on a weekly basis or a bi-weekly basis, would be predicting Pompey to not win their home games. It's never a position I feel comfortable being in, but I predicted Pompey wouldn't win either the Blackpool game or the Gillingham game. And I didn't think I'd ever be in a position where I'd predict we'd fail to win back-to-back home games. Yeah. And yet we contrived to find a way to do so. And that's just what we are at the moment. And it's a shame, because you don't want to look back on the end of the season and feel like you missed out on something big because you couldn't deal with business at home. I don't think that should ever be a reason a team doesn't achieve, because they couldn't win the home games. So it's disappointing, and once again we're faced with trying to to put our entire season together based solely on away results.
Yeah. We're going to bring in Mark Coates into the conversation now, commentator for the Pompey Audio Description Service at Fratton Park. Mark, very good evening to you, my friend. It's been a short while since we heard from you. Hope you're keeping well. Glad to hear from you tonight.
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. I'm listening to Ryan, he's making much more sense of this season than I am. I just can't predict. It just seems totally random to me. I've no idea what's coming next from Pompey, but the voice of wisdom with the stat attacks there is making me see a few patterns.
I think you've kind of summed it up there, haven't you, Mark, in saying that it is so difficult to sum up Pompey's season, but at the same time, you also can't help but feel that a lot of it is actually predictable. I know that is very contradictory, but in the sense that going to against Gillingham on Saturday, you could sense that a follow-up win to the game at Oxford probably wasn't likely, given our record against Gillingham, given the fact they are a bit of a bogey side, and that's kind of just what Pompey do. But like you say, at the same time, there are flashes of Pompey this season during games where we are a very good side. We can string together some very nice football. Going forward, we look like a real good threat. We saw that back in December for quite a few games in a row. But do you believe it's just the inconsistency which is haunting Pompey at the moment?
Well, you've nailed it completely, and I think loads of listeners will agree. The only thing that is a pattern is the inconsistency. Every single season we'll have the ups and downs. It's like looking at a roller coaster when you look at our stats, you know. And you wouldn't have thought it, because I thought Kenny Jackett, part of his persona, was bringing consistency and looking at patterns of defensive and attacking action and smoothing the curve. But he's not at all. We only lost twice to one team, and it's Blackpool. We lost twice to Blackpool, but we can beat any other team apparently in this league, and yet we can't find those runs of games. We don't find enough runs of games to put us top of the table. I'm sure every Pompey fan knows we belong. We have got the best squad, and you know, Ragatino came out and said it, didn't he? I was talking to the Pompey Viking there, to Ryan, about that earlier, and Ryan said absolutely right that they've said they've got the best team. They've said they can win this league, and that's why it's fair to judge them on that.
Yeah, we've got a couple of emails and texts coming in as well. Roger in Gosport, he says, I've been a Pompey fan for approximately 62 years. Roger, that's a fantastic effort, my friend. Glad to hear that. Great to hear from you as always, Roger. He continues by saying the club has hit bad times and good times, but something about the players just doesn't seem right, and I'm still confident that they will turn it around tomorrow night. 3-1 victory. Keep the faith. Roger in Gosport. Can always rely on Roger lightening the mood a little bit. But thank you for getting in touch there, Roger. We got a couple of comments on Facebook coming in. Jeff Harris, he says that it's not down to the salary cap and the uncertainty of players' futures. It's due to playing forwards out of their strongest positions, says Jeff Harris on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And Paul O'Neill says that every club is in the same boat. It's no excuse. Players should want to play for the badge and aim for the championship, which surely would enhance this group of players' career and future prospects. Saturday was another woeful performance, and you can't just blame the manager. This group of players need to buck their ideas up and fast. Paul O'Neill there says, play up Pompey on Facebook. OK, so we've heard a little bit of post-match reaction from my two guests this evening, Ryan and Mark, as well as Son from back home as well. But what did the gaffer make of his team's performance at the weekend? Ollie Marsh from the Pompey media team spoke pitch side to Kenny Jackett after the game on Saturday, first asking if he thought a draw was a fair result.
I felt first half we played pretty well. Obviously got a really good first goal. Worked their keeper very well and very hard. Had good chances and opportunities. Obviously we're disappointed with the goal that we conceded as a mistake rather than something that they've done. So pleasing first half performance anyway. Should have been ahead but weren't. But then as we went in the second half, I thought we lost our way a little bit. Quite a big moment was the Harvey White one on 60 minutes. You know, for which he felt he got pulled down. Obviously, you know, we respect the referee's decision. And from there, and then from 75 minutes on, it was Gillingham, particularly when Akindi came on. You know, physically gave us some problems down the left side of our defence. Jordan Graham put some good balls in, and even the balance of the game up. You know, we want to be at home, you know, the side that are finishing strong with a fresh energy and being able to come through that. Unfortunately, it didn't work that way. But similarly, you know, we're fourth in the league, and it's not a bad position to be in, and we move on to Tuesday.
for the goal that you conceded, do you just put that down to an individual error?
Yeah, I mean, Lee's a very experienced player, doesn't make many of those. The centre-forward's read it in terms of chesting it down and nipped in. But, you know, first half performance was a good performance. I was pleased with that. And we did create a lot of chances. We worked the goalkeeper, which was a good thing. But as the second half went on, to be fair, we fell away and couldn't quite, you know, get our game going. Couldn't quite get down the sides of them. Didn't have those moments, really, to be honest with you, you know, of clear-cut chances that we had in the first.
Yeah, what could you have done differently in that second half to you know, give yourself more of a chance to find a winner?
Yeah, it's tough for us to get our foot on the ball, particularly to get it wide to, let's say, harness White and Brown combinations, you know, with the left foot down that side. White had a, you know, really good shot, you know, early in the first half where the keeper made an excellent save. And obviously it was a, you know, big moment on around about an hour where, you know, potentially got pulled down, but, you know, we accept the decision. But then after that, and from 75 minutes on, it was them and we battled it out for a point. The keeper made a good save as well.
Callum Johnson drops out of the squad today due to a calf injury. Just talk us through that one.
Yeah, he you know, felt his calf in the latter stages of the Oxford game on Tuesday, and he'll miss maybe 2 to 3 weeks. Similar to James Bolton, who has just twisted his ankle ligament. So both of those out. Anyway, so it's an opportunity for Haji Minoga. He has a lot of potential. It's hard though to come in when you haven't been playing. There isn't any 23s football at the moment to be able to play in, and that's nobody. His fault, it's just a COVID situation, you know, at our club, and you know, with the circumstances that he was under there, you know, I was very pleased with him.
Yeah, and when he came off at the end, was that just to save him from getting a second yellow, or did he have a little knock? Or
yeah, maybe. I think he perhaps had, and you know, the experience of Jack on the far post, you know, could help us in that situation. I mean, he did come through Jack and come into an inside right position, and you know, possibly earned a corner there with that shot. It didn't. It was given for a goal kick, you know. But we understand that. But for Hadji anyway, he has to look positively on today. You know, it's difficult to come right from nowhere, and for all of the training that you do, you know, mentally it can be a big thing at 18. So you know, I am pleased with him. I do think he's got a really good future.
Manager Kenny Jackett speaking after the 1-1 draw with Gillingham at the weekend, Ryan. And right at the end there, he mentioned Haji Minoga, who came in for the injured Callum Johnson on Saturday. What did you make of his performance?
I remember pre-game on Saturday, I said for a man of his age, he's only 18, Hadji, you can see that he's actually got a huge skill set for a guy of his age, not just technically, but physically as well. And I said he doesn't have, at this stage of his career, he doesn't have a crippling issue. He can just be a bit too exuberant in tackles at times. He can be a bit too eager to close the ball down and break rank in a formation sense. And obviously he goes out and gets a pretty nasty booking in the game. I thought, yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I think Hadji, for the most part, though, he did all right. Obviously, in a game like that with Gillingham, they're constantly sending it into the mixer. And obviously, as we've seen through the course of the season, Pompey like to pin their opponents back, to win the ball high, to keep them very much within their own half and really hammer home the advantage on that basis. But it's hard to get the ball off an opponent when they keep getting rid of it quickly, distributing it long, distributing it over the top, getting the flick-ons and getting it into your own box, which is a problem we suffered with really throughout the game, because Gillingham started on that note very well. And as we said before that interview, they had the chances to win that game at the end. So it was a tough game for Hadji to really put his emphasis on it, because when the ball spends that much time in the air or deflecting around the edge of the box, it's really hard for someone like him to get the ball on the deck and set up some really good passing flow with his wide man in front of him or potentially the midfielders inside. So yeah, it's tough for him to really stamp his authority on that game. I think in that type of game, it's when you look to the more central players and physically capable players who battle aerial duels for 90 minutes. You'll be looking to those in a game against Gillingham to see, you know, how many of those duels they win. It's not really the guys on the floor you look to make the difference. But I thought Hadji did okay. And for an 18-year-old, for a club that's in the playoffs in League One, doing okay kind of translates into very good. Yeah. Because as an 18-year-old starting for a League One side in the playoffs, for the most part, if you get forced in there after an injury to your starting right back, there is a risk you kind of look out of your depth. But I haven't seen a single Hadji Minoga game yet where I've thought he's out of his depth. Now, he hasn't played too much football, but he's at least got some minutes in FA Cup games, the league when he came on. I think it was Lincoln away in November when he came on there. He's never looked out of his depth. So for his age, that's brilliant. And moving forward, we've just got to iron out those little differences that turn a booking kind of challenge in just to a challenge that the referee says, okay, I'll let you off for the warning there. And just making sure on the defensive side of things, he doesn't abandon his position too quickly to close the ball down. He kind of finds a balance in between it. So I'm definitely looking forward to see what he can bring us going forward, though.
And we'll certainly come on to the subject of Hadji Minoga in the next part of the show. Before we do move on, though, Mike Briscoe on Twitter, he says, in my view, Pompey have played their best football this season when Harness has started up front with Williams out wide. I don't think he's scored since moving back out wide, but I do believe he adds something up the top. If you get it into his feet, he turns and runs up the defence. We miss it, says Mike Briscoe there on Twitter. And Jacket says, but Kenny has brought in all strikers to suit how he intends to play. Our issue has always been under Kenny is transitioning to the final third. Midfield, our strongest position and always underutilised. Strikers and teams set up to defend first, and so we don't get numbers or options in and around the box. Jacket there on Twitter. Keep getting those text tweets and emails in. Pompey fans, 81400 is the number to text. Send in your name and message. Start those with the word Express. Otherwise, you can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. And when we return, we'll once again be hearing from Kenny Jacket, who insists that his side will go into tomorrow night's game with the same mindset, even with the news of the departure of Doncaster Rovers manager Darren Moore.
Obviously, our focus is on our opponents. It'll be the same group of players and, you know, with a very experienced manager in charge. So, you know, it won't change our preparation or what we're doing. And, you know, we know that it's a difficult game, but we have got results up at Doncaster, but they've been hard games, very hard games. So we're pleased with the 4 points we got last week in the two games. And now as we go on to these two very big games, we want that or better. That has to be our aim.
I'll be back with Ryan Stilwell and Mark Coates to continue our look back at Saturday's draw with Gillingham, and we'll also be moving on to preview tomorrow night's clash with Doncaster Rovers, right here on the only radio station from the Great Waterfront City. You're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to part two of tonight's Football Hour here on Express FM, brought to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. I'm joined this evening by my Pompey Live colleague Ryan Stilwell and Pompey AD commentator Mark Coates. And Mark, Ryan spoke before the break about the breakthrough of Hadji Minoga, who now looks set to retain his place at right back for the next few games due to the injury sustained by Callum Johnson. How big an opportunity is this for him now?
Oh, it's an opportunity that he's absolutely deserved. I mean, I remember watching him with you a couple of seasons ago in the trophy, and he looked great then. He was getting forwards even more than I thought, and I'm told he can play at the back as well. And he's got such maturity and presence. And I know what Ryan's saying. He needs to behave himself and stop going in for these challenges that are going to tot up the yellow cards, if not give him a few reds. But I kind of like that about his game as well. And we've always quite liked a hard man at Pompey, haven't we? It sort of fits in with our persona a little bit. And I like everything about him. And he reminds me a little bit in terms of his presence of Mark Wilson when he was playing under Harry. I just think he's got that a similar sort of personality. And he does know what to do with the ball. He knows his way around the pitch. I'm excited for him. Of course, it's massive. And it's the sort of thing that will stop him from saying to his agent, look, I'm not getting in here, look somewhere else for me.
Yeah, moving across back for Ryan, Kenny has spoken previously about Rasmus Nicolaisen's left foot. He's impressed by him. He's impressed by Sean Raggett's improvement this season. Another goal for Racatini on Saturday, of course, his fifth of the campaign now. But do you believe that with the defensive frailties Pompey have are kind of going through at the moment, I know Saturday was an individual error, Lee Brown holds his hands up, that happens, but do you believe that maybe tomorrow night against Doncaster Rovers, with the way they're set up, this is the time for Jack Watmore to actually come back into the starting 11?
Oh, please.
Yes, essentially, just to mirror that cry, yes, he has to come back in, because there's something about that Pompey defence right now where it lacks any sort of composure at all. because of the defensive mistakes they're making on an individual basis that then lead to another mistake, to another mistake. Pompey seemed to have like a cascade failure going on where one player makes a mistake during a phase of play and then it leads to another player making a mistake trying to correct that mistake, or they get a little bit deer in the headlights and it causes them to make a mistake. You can look to the goal against Blackpool as an example where Rasmus Nicolaisen, who I said this when we played Plymouth away from home in November, not very tactically aware. He breaks rank a bit too easily. It's kind of what I was saying about Minoga before the break, that Nicolaisen will happily abandon position and go on a wild goose chase to close a ball down, and he'll get caught in no man's land. And if you remember the Blackpool goal, he's somewhat 45 yards from goal getting caught out, which is why Jerry Yates had the freedom of Pompey's half to run straight at Sean Raggett.
We mentioned now, that Plymouth game. Cool.
Exactly. Yeah. There was that. Yes, Cameron Pring didn't have the greatest defensive header of all time when that ball came down the flank in the Plymouth game. But the fact is that if Rasmus had just stayed rank and stayed equidistant to Raggett, and then Raggett, who had his fullback outside him, he would have just collected that defensive header and sent it back up the pitch. But because he broke rank, the ball went over his head, which is why they got him behind. And that's the type of thing that you need to basically work out, is that if one player makes a mistake, the rest of the defense then has to step up and say, right, we're covering until we can basically set up a new defensive line. Or you need a sturdy head in there to try and get the guys to basically refocus, cut out the silly errors. And I know that just before Jack stopped playing, he basically got sent off. He scored a couple own goals. He wasn't having the best time, but you'd have to think that the amount of game time he's not had in the past couple of weeks, he would have potentially had a chance to work that out of his system mentally. And then you bring him back in because he is the most experienced defender or centre-back we've got within that group right now. You just need someone else to come in and say, you lot need to calm down, because some of the mistakes we're making are not acceptable for a team of our, you know, ambitions and our position right now. And it goes to what I was saying on Saturday. Pompey don't concede well-crafted goals. How many times do we concede a goal where you just have to sit there and go, that's actually a very well-worked goal. Congratulations to you for being able to score against us. How many times are we looking at a group error or an individual error that leads to a harrowing goal to watch on the replays? And I think when you get into a pattern of that, you do need to just rotate the system up again.
Yeah. Jacket's Jacket on Twitter got back in touch. He says Kenny won't change for pair or approach and has said why both are in the team in recent weeks. Rasmus, because of his distribution and left foot, brings balance, and says that Raggett is one of the best defenders in the league and scored on Saturday. Jack in or out will not solve it, says Jacket's Jacket there on Twitter. Got an email from Graham Wilkins. Evening, gents. Pompey have been so inconsistent this season, and the home form is the polar opposite of last season, where we were so good at home. If the FA would allow it, I'd ask them if we could play all of our games away from Fratton Park for the rest of the season. We are so good away at present. The trouble is, the Blues make so many unforced errors at the moment, and teams are capitalising on these. It was just as well McGilvery is on the top of his game at the moment, as he has saved our bacon on Saturday, as well as away to Oxford in the latter stages. On to Doncaster tomorrow night, who are struggling for wins. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw, says Graham Wilkins on the emails. And a very good point there about the man in between the sticks for Pompey, Craig McGilvery, with an excellent save in injury time on Saturday, denying John Akinde from giving Gillingham all 3 points. And of course, indeed, on Tuesday night at Oxford, also in injury time, denying Oxford on 3 separate occasions from coming back into the game. So yeah, full credit to Craig McGilvery there. We got one more before we do move on, and I believe it's Linda Mayo who says, a controversial question, but should we give up on this season? Probably not in the automatic positions, and we all know how the playoffs will go. Do we now concentrate on next season with team building and management? Linda Mayo on the emails. Mark, it is a controversial question, I'll give you that. Should we give up on this season? There's a long way to go. There's no denying that. 16 matches still to play. Still not a long way off the top two either. I know we can sit here and we are, I think it's clear to say that we are a little bit pessimistic about Pompey's chances of getting the top two this season, but should we give up?
Right, Pompey never ever give up. That's one thing that's for sure, and I'm sure everyone will be at home thinking the same. That said, it is Groundhog Day, isn't it? It really is. Ryan, if you don't want me, we were talking before, weren't we, in saying that this we see the same thing happening again: playoffs, and then not being good enough to go up. It's a worry, but we've got to keep the faith because, you know, at the very start, when was it? There's been moments throughout the last 3-4 seasons, you know, when we've just thought this is just going very badly, and Jackett's taken them on a run, and it could still happen. And we've all seen last minute runs where people, you know, where teams end up getting automatic promotion. So we have to keep the faith, and Jackett's capable of that. But I have to say, for the first time ever, my patience has run out with it. What I'd be really interested to know from any listeners, if they get in touch, is what would be your reaction be if Kenny Jackett was offered a new contract in June 2021? I'd love to know the reaction to that. we've got to keep the faith, but it's tough. That's the answer.
Yeah. Have you got an answer to Mark's question? What would your reaction be if Kenny Jackett was offered a new contract in the summer? 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. Email pompey@expressfm.com. Tweet using @ExpressFM. Or you can go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. But now we're going to hear from the man himself and his pre-match thoughts. The Blues boss Kenny Jackett began by speaking about former Pompey defender Darren Moore and his surprise exit from his role as manager of this week's opponents, Doncaster Rovers.
Yeah, he's obviously gone to a very big club in Sheffield Wednesday, and, you know, good luck to him on that. He deserves it. You know, he's done well at West Brom, and he's done well at Doncaster as well. You know, for us, obviously our focus is on our opponents. It'll be the same group of players, and, you know, with a very experienced manager in charge. So, you know, it won't change our preparation or what we're doing. And, you know, we know that it's a difficult game, but we have got results up at Doncaster, but they've been hard games, very hard games. So we're pleased with the 4 points we got last week in the two games at Oxford and Gillingham. And now, as we go on to, you know, these two very big games, you know, we want that or better. That has to be our aim.
Yeah, you say it won't change your preparation, but for the Doncaster players, how will it affect them, and how will their players react to the news?
Yeah, I think they'll be OK. I don't think it will really change too much. I think their approach will be the same. They're a very good side. They're well positioned in the league, so I don't think it'll have that great an effect on a long term. Maybe, you know, somebody's longer term thinking may affect it more.
Aside from the managerial departure, it's two teams who are in the playoffs. That must add a bit of competitive edge to it as well.
Yeah, it adds a lot. And for us, we want to put the type of run together. As 16 games now left, we've played 30 games. We want to put the sort of run together that can keep us up there or better. You know, we don't want the top two to get away. We want to keep competing at the right end of the league. Now, as we stand at the moment, you know, we're fourth in the division. We do think we've been very solid. We want to be creatively better, definitely. You know, we're pleased with the commitment, and the players are battling and battle hard and are very committed, and that's a good thing. But similarly, you know, we want to be in a position where we can create and score goals. We've done it at different stages of the season. It's dried up slightly. And, you know, for us anyway, need that final ball, that bit of confidence, make sure that, you know, we can impose ourselves on the opposition to be able to get the goals that we need.
As you said, we've got results at Donny before. What will you need to do to get another one tomorrow night?
Yeah, they're a good side. They move the ball very well. As ever, a good combination of defending but posing a good attacking threat as well. You know, they've got a good defensive record and are right up there on merit, definitely. You know, they're a good team with a good squad. But, you know, for us, we feel we can beat any side in the division if we get our game right. And that's been proved this season. And, you know, we have to just concentrate, make sure that we can do our job, show you know, a high level of commitment and enthusiasm, but particularly in that final third, just take our time, just be relaxed in certain situations, and then, you know, we do feel creatively that's the part we can improve.
Yeah, you'll obviously have a good idea of what the performance levels need to be to achieve what you want to achieve this season. How do the recent games that you've seen stack up against that?
We've been up and down. We've been good for spells in games. But obviously, you know, you want consistent runs of results. Many sides, though, are the same. It's not easy to win games of football. It's hard. And, you know, we've been battling away. But we do feel we've got to find an edge. I don't want to lose anything in our build-up, in our commitment. I don't want to lose that, because you have to have that. You have to have that grit, determination to defending. But we want to, you know, at certain stages during the season, we've had quality on top of that as well, and that's a really good mix. That sort of puts you into the sort of territory where you can maybe win, you know, five games out of the next six, four games out of the next six. That's what you're looking to do, and it's that part in the final third, in their half, without taking away from anything that we've got.
For Lee Brown, there's no real getting away from the fact that he was at fault for Gillingham's goal at the weekend, but he's an experienced player, a senior player. Will you be backing him to bounce back from that?
Yeah, Lee will play again, and you know, he's been a good player for us over a few seasons. The centre forward's just read it, but you know, his other decisions in the game, that was obviously a key one. And you know, for Lee anyway, he's experienced enough to get over that. I understand it's part of football. He's disappointed, obviously, but you know, we would all back anybody that makes a mistake. It has to be that way inside a club.
Looking at the March fixtures as a whole, and you've obviously got this Wembley final smack bang in the middle of it, how do you manage that and make sure that your players continue to take each game as it comes?
Yeah, first off, you know, look at it positively, enjoy it, see it as a challenge, nothing to be frightened of at all. That's the biggest thing. This is why we're in, you know, football four. We're in first of March and we're fourth in the league and we're chasing promotion and we have a Wembley final. You know, there are only positives, so you know, it's a fantastic opportunity. Work hard to rise to it. Realise it won't be easy, and we'll have to dig deep to achieve it. We're going to have to really push ourselves, but again, it should just be, you know, excitement and enthusiasm to go and finish a job off strong in the final third of the season in both competitions.
And just finally, a word on Alex Bass. Have you had an opportunity to find out what happened at the weekend with him?
Yeah, it seems an innocuous situation, but he's just sort of came down and landed, played the rest of the half, assessed it at half time with a physio, felt it was a little bit too painful to carry on, to do himself justice. And anyway, he'll have a scan this afternoon to see exactly what's going on in there. We hope it's not too much, but obviously, you know, there is some concern. You know, we're worried about that. But similarly, we have to see the results of the scan. But, you know, innocuous situation, really, and hopefully won't be too bad.
The pre-match thoughts of manager Kenny Jackett there. Still to come tonight, we've got a preview of tomorrow night's floodlit fixture at Bukit Moat Stadium. I'll be bringing Ryan and Mark back into the conversation to discuss the departure of Doncaster manager Darren Moore, who left his role this morning to take up the vacant position at Sheffield Wednesday. You have just under 20 minutes to get your final messages in to us this evening. We're now asking for your score predictions. Do you believe Pompey have it in them to kick Donny while they are down and come away from Yorkshire with all 3 points? The conclusion of the Monday Football Hour is coming next.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to Express FM and the Football Hour, which is supported by Stagecoach across the South. Head to stagecoachbus.com for all you need to know regarding timetables, routes and COVID guidelines. There's still time to get involved with the discussion this evening. Are you concerned about some players who have yet to put pen to paper on a new contract? Who makes your Pompey starting 11 for tomorrow night's game? And what do you think the score will be? On the text, it's 81400. Start those with the word Express and round off with your name so we know who you are. Alternatively, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com, include at expressfm on Twitter, or head to facebook.com/PompeyLive. But before we do move any further with tonight's conversation, Connor Moseley has the lowdown on this week's opposition, Doncaster Rovers.
Pompey were held to a 1-1 draw at the weekend when Gillingham came to town. Next up, the Blues travel to the Keep Moat Stadium to take on managerless Doncaster Rovers.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
It's a 460-mile round trip for Kenny Jackett's side this Tuesday night in match day 31 of the League One season. So let's dive straight into what we know about this week's opponents, nicknamed Donny.
Manager.
Completely out of the blue and with no prior indication of it happening, Doncaster boss Darren Moore left the club on Monday morning to take up the vacant role at Sheffield Wednesday. The former Pompey defender, who posted 3 appearances for Jamaica before retiring in 2012, replaced now Hull boss Grant McCann at the Keep Moat in July 2019, since registering 35 wins from 78 competitive matches. Current Donny defender Andy Butler, who's featured on 10 occasions this season, will take charge of the club until the end of the campaign in a player-coach role. The 37-year-old, who moved to Doncaster from Scunthorpe United in September, is also currently managing Doncaster Rovers Bells, the ladies' football team, who are affiliated to the club.
One to watch.
40-year-old James Coppinger is one to watch this week. The Football League veteran, who is hanging up his boots at the end of this season, is now considered a Doncaster legend, having served the club for almost 17 years. The attacking midfielder, who started his career at Darlington, joined Donny from Exeter in 2004 and has since made over 800 appearances, scoring 65 goals. Coppinger was the first and currently only player to reach 500 games for the club, an achievement unlikely to be matched by anyone else anytime soon.
Top scorer.
25-year-old forward Fajiri Okunabiri, who was just 8 years old when his teammate Coppinger joined Doncaster, is the side's leading scorer at this stage with 8 league strikes to his name. The London-born playmaker, who came through the youth ranks of Arsenal and Stevenage before turning pro in 2014, has also represented teams such as Farnborough, Cambridge City, Dagenham Redbridge and Shrewsbury Town before moving to DN4 last January. Across his two half seasons at the club so far, Okunabiri has played 28 games and registered 10 goals and 4 assists.
Current form.
Rovers have hit a huge dip in form of late, and on paper, the Blues couldn't have picked a better time to play them if they tried. Before making the surprise jump up to the Championship on Monday morning, Darren Moore had seen his side record just 1 point from their previous 5 league matches, losing 4 and drawing the one against Hull City in a thrilling and dramatic game, which ended 3-3 at the Keep Moat, in which James Coppinger scored a pearler of a free kick in the 12th minute of second half injury time. Prior to this 5-game winless run, Donny had enjoyed a 5-match winning streak, with a 4-0 defeat at West Ham in the FA Cup sandwiched in between. Doncaster are bottom of the form guide in League One over the last 5 matches and have just lost their highly rated gaffer. Can Pompey kick Donny while they're down and capitalise on their poor run of results? All the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
A little bit more about tomorrow's opponents, Doncaster, who have today lost their manager. Darren Moore left the club this morning and was immediately announced as manager of Championship outfit Sheffield Wednesday. Defender Andy Butler will now take charge of the club until the end of the season. Mark, how much of an effect do you think this is going to have on Doncaster, not just tomorrow night, but for the remainder of the season?
Well, Darren Moore is someone I'd love to have had at Pompey. I think he's a great manager. I'm interested in where he's taken it, though, because he's gone. I was talking to Ryan about this as well before we came on air. He's taken on a huge challenge. It's going to be from what I can see, he was clearly loved by the players, though, and it's had an effect on him. Just looking at the results. Before they played Fleetwood on the 9th of February, they had 10 wins in 11 league games, which is just a stunning run. And in the last 5 games, as your colleague was saying, there's 4 losses and 1 draw. So I think they obviously knew he was going. Well, you'd imagine they knew that he was going, and it's had an effect. But they're professional footballers. They will pull themselves together, and I don't think this will be a piece of cake. This will be no cakewalk on tomorrow night. Absolutely no way. We'll come to, obviously, predictions later, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as it is on paper.
And, Ryan, we haven't got too long to stay on the subject. We do have to move on, but do you think this falls into Pompey's hands, or do you think, but like we saw with Bristol Rovers a couple of weeks back, who dismissed Paul Tisdale prior to that game, even on Saturday, actually, Northampton Town, they are currently managerless as well. Do you think actually this could go the other way in those players actually starting to pick up, you know, a run of form?
I think this has to help Pompey, because with the sacking of Paul Tisdale, and with most managers departing clubs these days, it comes on a horrible run of form that ends up with the club hierarchy sacking the manager, whereas Moore's actually left of his own volition to go to Sheffield Wednesday. And normally with sackings, you get rumblings about this kind of thing happening. But with Moore, there was no prior indication that he was going to Wednesday. And given that, you know, Doncaster are a playoff team and they do have 2 games in hand on pretty much every team in the playoffs, they've actually got 4 games in hand on Hull. You know, if things go well for Doncaster, they actually go to third with those games in hand.
Hmm. Yeah.
So to leave with less than a third of the season to go, when you're in the playoffs with 2 games in hand, at least on everyone in the top 6, it's weird. It's really weird. And I think this will blindside the players. I think they will have to be mentally compromised by this. I'm not sure this is one of those where the players go, our manager's just left us in the middle of a promotion chase to go 10 miles across Yorkshire to Sheffield. I don't think within the space of 24, 48 hours, they immediately rally together and put in their performance of the season. I do believe this is a vulnerable Doncaster we're against. And considering that in their last 5 games, they've just been, you know, getting beaten down by every playoff contender. They've conceded 15 goals in six games. You know, they conceded three against Hull, two against Oxford, four against Sunderland. This is a brilliant time to play them. They're vulnerable against teams in the top six, which, despite our performances recently, we still are, and they'll be vulnerable due to this. This is, on paper, the perfect time to play them.
Mike T and South Summer Text, good evening, Jake and lads. We need to keep the faith during our remaining 16 games ahead and give Jack Watmore the starting nod for tomorrow's game. Well done also to Liam Howells for raising over £800. A man of the match award to him, Mike T and South. Yes, very good point there, Mike. Well done to Liam Howells, our Pompey Live colleague and host, who raised, or has currently raised, over £800 for the Rowan's Hospice. Yesterday afternoon, he shaved all of his head off. And if you know Liam, if you've seen him, if you met him, he is a fond lover of those curls, and he is going to be absolutely distraught. And he does look rather funny, I'm not going to lie. I can't talk. Well done, the same last year. But no, well done to Liam. He's done it for a very good cause. And you can still donate, I believe, if you head to Liam's Twitter account, at DJ Liam H. You can find the link on how to donate to what is a fantastic cause. Got a couple more messages coming in as well before we do leave you in a few moments' time. Ashley Richardson says, we are too predictable. 99% of the time we don't score. Alfie Faithful says, but defences have worked us out. We need new options, which is why Jordi Huila should start. Tom Wilde also agrees, we are too predictable. Not enough men committed forward on attacks, as the back line can't be trusted one versus one. And the final one here from Steve Stenning, who says, got to stop expecting the front three to be the only ones getting forward. The whole team needs to push forward to build attacks. Plus, that way, there won't be a gulf in the space between the front three or four and the defence and the centre mid for the opponents to be able to get the ball and work it about like they do at the moment. We've only got a few minutes left, lads, to sum up tonight's show, and I just want to quickly highlight the players that are out of contract at Pompey this summer. A question I posed at the start of the show is, do you Pompey fans believe that this is having a little bit of an effect on performances on the pitch? Those players are as follows: Craig McGilvery, Jack Watmore, Hadji Minoga, Tom Naylor, Ryan Williams, Andy Cannon, Bryn Morris and Ben Close. Those players are all out of contract at the club at the end of the season. And not just a question mark on whether this is having an effect on performances, but really a question as to, should we be worried about these players' futures? It's only, what, it's March now. We've got 2 months until the end of the season. These players could talk to other clubs if they so wish to do so. Are you worried we may lose some of our top assets, especially if we don't get promotion?
Well, I'm terrified that that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, we've just talked about Hadji Minoga. Why would Ben Close stay? He's just been treated appallingly, in my opinion. He's a technically brilliant player who I think will still bring a lot to the team. I know he sometimes doesn't drive forward the way that we like, but he's got such technique, and, you know, from sometimes 25 yards out into the top corner, I think he could play at a high level, much like we all knew Chaplin could, and he went on to play well at the Championship, and these players can get promoted faster than Pompey. Jack Watmore, I'm now worried for. I just don't get what's going on there. He's another one I could see playing in the Premiership. If it wasn't for injuries, he would not be with the club. I'm absolutely certain of that. He'd have been promoted way above us. And it's a problem we've seen before. You know, we've lost players. Stevens, wasn't it, who went to Sheffield United, and, you know, we failed to keep him, didn't we? And that was much to our chagrin. But at the same time, you also have to understand that the club are hemorrhaging this. What is it, 700,000 a month, is it?
Something like that, yeah. That's what we've had reported, yeah.
It's horrible, horrible amount, you know. And I've still got huge faith in Mark Catlin. I think he's an outstanding CEO, and you know, he knows more than I do, so I'll leave it to him. But yeah, I'm terrified by that.
Yeah, Jack Hancock on Twitter getting a word in as well on that situation. He says, I think the contract situation for both players and management is having a massive impact on our season. If a player or manager doesn't feel like they're going to be awarded a new contract, they'll naturally drift off and put less effort in. Concerning there, says Jack Hancock on Twitter. And a final one, actually, from Blake O'Neill. I think we need something new tomorrow. Doncaster in bad form as it is, and that won't have been helped by the departure of Moore. We need to hit them off from the off and take advantage of that. Nothing less than 3 points will do tomorrow, says Blake O'Neill on Twitter. A score prediction here from Stuart Hurdle on Facebook. He says 3-0 Pompey win. We heard earlier Graham Wilkins is going for a 2-2 draw. Ryan Stillwell, very, very quickly, what do you reckon? Pompey away to Doncaster.
We've got no business not getting a result at the Keep Mode tomorrow with everything going on there. And we do better away from home. So we're going to win 2-1. And everyone at 9:30 is going to go, what on earth?
Mark Coates, your prediction, please.
There's no logic at all to Pompey. My guess is a 1-1 draw because I think they will pull it together. People like Coppinger will lead or be flag bearers.
Ryan, Mark, thank you both so much for joining me tonight. Ryan, I'll see you tomorrow. We've got a nice long journey tomorrow at Doncaster Rovers. I think it's over a 430-mile round trip. Yay.
Something like that. Very late, but I'll take 3 points there.
Definitely. I'm going to go for a 1-0 smash and grab Pompey win at the Keep Mode Stadium tomorrow night. And that is a game you can hear right here on Express FM and I Follow Pompey. The Blues are off to the Keep Mode Stadium to take on managerless Doncaster Rovers in the next League One fixture, and full coverage will be here from 6 o'clock.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Yet again.
This is.
You
want to
believe it?
Pompey Live.
Pompey shared a point with Gillingham at Fratton Park on Saturday afternoon. Sean Raggett headed home his fifth of the season before Verdane Oliver level.
A huge risk from Brown, a terrible error, and Gillingham score.
It's Portsmouth 1, Gillingham 1. Up next, the Blues travel to the Keep Mode Stadium for match day number 31. Join us for all the unmissable action tomorrow evening from 6.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Well, that just about draws an end to tonight's Football Hour here on Express FM. Once again, a huge thank you to both Ryan Stillwell and Mark Coates for joining me on tonight's show. It's been a fantastic hour of Pompey debate. I think we've got a lot covered as well, which is always good news. Don't forget, tomorrow's game at Doncaster Rovers is a 7 o'clock kickoff at the Keep Mode Stadium. Full coverage, as you just heard from Liam there, will be right here on Express FM and I Follow Pompey from 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. Coming up tonight, though, the Soft Rock Show is back after the news at 7 o'clock. Jeff and Adrian are back with 2 hours, bringing you the latest from the likes of Aerial East, Vikings of Blues. I'm sure Ryan's going to enjoy that one. Mason Hill, Paul Carrick and Kings of Leon as well. Scattering the Roots is back from 9 o'clock with Dan Ogus. He's playing nothing but folk, blues and roots music and plenty of etc., he says. The Express Wind Down with Liam Howells between 11 o'clock tonight and 2 a.m, getting you through the evening if you need to relax. Mason Jordan is back from 7 o'clock tomorrow morning with Express Breakfast. Darren Gabelin is back playing more great music between 10 and 1 o'clock. Ian James returns playing Who Am I from 1 before returning with the Victory Years at 2 o'clock. And of course, James Percy will be bringing you Drive Time between 4 and 6. Nothing but great music and the latest travel and news updates. So join us tomorrow from 6 o'clock. Pompey away to Doncaster Rovers. But until then, have a fantastic evening. Stay safe out there. And play at Pompey. Good night.